Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Faratech. Faratech, great people, remarkable service.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. My name's Mike Salmond, weekday host on Business Radio X and weekend host on Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, normally when I'm on Business Radio X, I'm at the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in Duluth, but not today. Today, we're broadcasting from the county's TV studio at the Gwinnett Justice and Administration Center. That's because this show is also being televised on TV Gwinnett as part of the Get in the Game program. So a big welcome to both our TV and radio audiences. Our topic today is the state of professional sports in Gwinnett. When it comes to pro sports, Gwinnett County is unique. Our county is home to three professional sports teams and one professional golf tournament. And although all four sports entities market to and serve much of the Atlanta market, they all reside right here in Gwinnett. Time now for some introductions. North Johnson is the general manager of the Gwinnett Braves baseball team, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. The G Braves are about to begin their eighth season in Gwinnett. The team is a member of the International League, and they play all their home games at Coolray Field in Lawrenceville. Alex Shimpke is with the Georgia Swarm indoor lacrosse team, or box lacrosse as it's also known. The Swarm are members of the National Lacrosse League, and they play all their games at the Infinite Energy Center in Duluth. The Swarm are the area's newest team as they just began their first season here in Gwinnett. Joe Gilderman is the vice president and general manager of business operations for the area's longest tenured team, the Atlanta Gladiators. The Gladiators are an affiliate of the NHL's Boston Bruins and are currently playing their 13th season in Gwinnett. They're members of the ECHL, and they also play their home games at the Infinite Energy Center. Elisa Duman is the tournament director of the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, our area's PGA Tour Champions event. The tournament tees off every year at the prestigious TPC Sugarloaf in Duluth. This year's event is April 11th through April 17th with a purse of $1.8 million. And Stan Hall is the executive director of the Gwinnett Sports Commission. The mission of the GSC is to foster economic development in Gwinnett County through sports of all levels, including youth, collegiate, amateur, and professional. Stan, let's talk about all of these professional sports entities in our county. To have a suburb so close to a major league city such as Atlanta offering so many professional sports, I know that's something you've got to be very proud of. What does the relationship between the Gwinnett Sports Commission and these sports organizations look like, and what kind of impact do these organizations have on the Gwinnett economy?
Absolutely. Obviously, the golf tournament that Elisa directs, we have a vested interest. The Sports Commission actually owns and operates that event. We own the contract with the PGA Tour. But outside of that, all the teams that are represented here today, we have a vested interest, obviously with North and the Braves. They play in Coolray Field, which we actually own. The Swarm and the Gladiators are tenants as well, in the, as you said, in the Infinite Energy Arena. So we have a vested interest in all the professional sports that are here. And as you said in your opening, it's our job to get these teams out in the public as much as we can. You know, we certainly want all of them to be successful. From an economic impact, it's really incredible. And I think people would be shocked about how much money professional sports does bring to our county. And to the Atlanta area as well. But it's a huge, huge thing. I think sometimes we take it for granted because we do have so many professional sports that are represented here in Gwinnett. And as you said, it's very unique to have this kind of representation on a professional level, something we all should be proud of and something that we certainly are proud of.
Well, Stan, there's no question that Gwinnett continues to grow as the population. I think it's now nearing 900,000 residents. Yet a lot of folks, or at least some folks, may wonder if the professional playing field is getting a little too crowded. How do you balance your mission of developing pro sports and creating more options for the sports fans here in our area, yet not water down the market too much so the teams that are already here in place stay strong, they stay vibrant, and they have the best chance to succeed?
I think from a population perspective, there's no doubt that we should be able to sustain the number of professional sports and events we have here. I don't really see it any different than Atlanta. Atlanta has, you know, professional basketball, baseball, football. They're bringing in a soccer team. They're also bringing in a professional outdoor lacrosse team, not in Atlanta, but just outside of Atlanta. They're all vying for the same population, if you will, to come to their games. So I don't see it as any different. We don't need to have the numbers show up that they do to fill their facilities. So I think the population is not an issue. I think we just have to continue to work on, concentrating to getting these folks out to support the teams we have.
Joe Gelderman with the Gladiators. The Glads have been in Gwinnett now for 13 years, longer than anybody else. How has the changing landscape of pro sports in our area affected the way you guys do business?
I don't think it has. I mean, at this point, I think we have a pretty keen sense of who we are and what we do. And we can't let other factors affect that. I mean, we have to stay true to who we are and what's made us successful. I tell our guys all the time, we're not competing against these guys. We're not competing against the professional teams in Atlanta. You know, if we do what we do, we're competing against the status quo. You know, we want people's status quo and people's norm to be to come to a Gladiators game. You know, there might be a church out there that we're calling on that, you know, every June they go to Stone Mountain, every July they go to Six Flags, and every February they go to the Georgia Aquarium every year. That's their status quo. We need to be part of their status quo. Right. That's what we're competing against. We're not competing against this other stuff. And you know, like Stan said, I think with the population that is in not only Gwinnett County, but the surrounding counties, I think there's definitely enough people to sustain what we have going on, for sure.
Alex Shipke with the Swarm. When management of the Swarm was evaluating where to relocate the Swarm after several seasons in Minnesota, what factors led management to select Gwinnett? And was there any hesitation when you saw all of the other sports options here in town?
You know, it was our number one choice. You know, after our press conference this summer, the Gwinnett Daily Post wrote, you know, the perfect place. That's exactly how we felt. Seeing other teams in the area, that only encouraged us to come here knowing that, you know, those teams were successful. So we're in a beautiful arena, plenty of people here, and sports is booming.
North Johnson of the Braves, you've been in sports management now for many years. How would you describe the Gwinnett market? And what's the relationship like between all of the sports entities?
No, the reality is we don't compete. And one of the great things for us is that, you know, our seasons are different, so there's no in-season competition. And it's great to have Alec and the Swarm in town. Even though they're playing the same time the Gladiators are, the seasons don't really knock up against each other. You know, he'll have one game a week or over a weekend and then gone for a couple of weeks and then back in, whereas Joe's home, you know, three nights a week, whatever it may be. But the reality is, you know, we talk about the population of Gwinnett County. All we need is 1% of the population to show up at our events each night.
Right.
And we would be wildly successful. If we had 1% of our population show up to our games, we would be leading all of minor league baseball in attendance. And I could probably retire next year. But the uniqueness of us is that we are so close. You know, again, the Gladiators are the Bruins affiliate. So all the Bruins fans that may be in Atlanta, because we know Atlanta is that melting pot of different cities across the country, there's a lot of Boston fans in this area. And so hopefully they're coming out to see Joe. The mountain we have to climb is that our Major League affiliate is 35 miles down the road. So the Braves fans are going to Atlanta. You know, what we hang our hat on is our family affordable entertainment. The fact that, you know, the future Atlanta Braves players are literally playing with us. It was only 5 years ago that Freddie Freeman and Craig Kimbrell were pitching for us. It was just last year that Matt Whistler was pitching for us. It's going to be this year that Malik Smith is going to be playing center field for us. Hopefully toward the end of the year, Dansby Swanson will be playing for us. Mm-hmm. Another local guy who's going to make really good. So those are the pieces that we have to do. Again, to Joe's point, we have to remain true to ourselves. We have to promote who we are and what we are. And hopefully get the community to understand, pay attention, and accept that and come out and support us.
In your case, North, your head-to-head competition is the PGA Champions Tour event, but you still have two other teams in the market. How do you deal with all that?
Well, we can't schedule around it because our schedule is done 2-3 years in advance. And again, this year is the first year we're actually competing, and it's only for a weekend. So, you know, we have 72 home games, so to compete with anybody else for 3 days, That's kind of part of our business. You know, we compete with movie theaters every single night. We compete with, you know, Stone Mountain and Six Flags and even the Atlanta Braves. And then in August, we compete with all the hoopla around Georgia Tech and UGA football. I mean, there's all these things that are always going on. You know, the beauty of the Gwinnett County market being so closely aligned to Atlanta is we have 900,000 people. We have all these different businesses to support us. The backdrop of that is we've got, you know, 3 to 4 major league franchises. We've got 2 upper tier colleges that we compete against. And so that's, for me, the opportunities are to be known in the marketplace. You know, getting the media to pay attention to us. And I think that's true for all of us, yeah. is just getting the media to understand, you know, what we are. You know, if you put a AAA franchise in any other city in the nation, I mean, that is that city's major league franchise, and we're secondary, and that's the piece that we have to overcome.
And Mike, before we move on, to add to that, and what we sometimes forget to mention is, Gwinnett has one of the most robust youth sports programs in the entire country. I don't mean in Georgia, I don't mean in the Southeast, I mean in this entire country. The football league, youth football league here, for example, is the largest youth football league in the entire country. So we have to compete with afternoon practices, weekend games, parents and kids going to those things, and still trying to draw them out to see a baseball game or a lacrosse or hockey or go to golf. So there's a lot of things that compete with it other than those folks who are represented here today. So there's just so much to do here, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And then sometimes it's not so wonderful. So that's the way it sort of works out.
And Elisa, you have the Gwinnett Braves you're going up against. So how do you manage that?
We're very fortunate to have a wonderful relationship with all the teams that are sitting here in this room. With the Gwinnett Braves, we have a promotional program in place that helps to promote both of our organizations. So during our tournament week, if you go to a Gwinnett Braves game, you're going to see advertising to come out to the tournament, and vice versa. You're going to see the Gwinnett Braves promo teams at the golf tournament promoting going to their events. We even do a reciprocal ticket swap. So if they go to a Gwinnett Braves game that Friday night, they can then take that same ticket, come to the golf tournament Saturday afternoon, and have free admission. Vice versa, they can take their golf tournament ticket. If they stop by the booth and see the Gwinnett Braves and say, oh, there's a game tonight, I want to go, they can take that same ticket that they use for the golf tournament and go to their games. Yep. And we've done the same things with the Gladiators in the past. And I know we're working out on a promotion right now with the Swarm.
For Joe and Alec now, the Gladiators and the Swarm, your seasons directly overlap. How do you manage through that without stepping on each other's toes?
I mean, from a sales standpoint, it's kind of like what we were talking about before. There's enough people around that, you know, we can still certainly both be successful. I don't really see many people sitting there saying, okay, I'm either going to go to a Gladiators game or go to a Swarm game. You know, I think that, and if that does happen, like I said, there's enough people around to do that. From an operational standpoint, I mean, I think we're both trying to accomplish the same things. You know, we know that there's going to be times when we have games, you know, that they need to get in their locker room during the day to get some business done. There's going to be times when they have games that, you know, our players, we might have had a game the night before and our players need to come in and see our trainer that day in our locker room. And they understand that. I mean, we've done it before when the Force were here and you know, when they were in Minnesota, I know they dealt with it with the Wild. I would assume mm-hmm. we're probably a little easier to work with than the Wild would have been. But
like Joe said, I mean, we're used to working next to a NHL franchise in Minnesota, you know, the four major sports as well. So we don't view anybody at this table as competition. It's better if everybody's doing well because, you know, the sports community as a whole is excited and more people are going out and, you know, supporting local businesses and the economy. So another reason we came here as well was the local lacrosse community. So many kids playing lacrosse right now down south in Georgia in particular. We saw a huge need for a professional team in this area. You know, there's kids growing up now that, you know, want to be pro lacrosse players or playing Division I lacrosse. So we were really excited to get down here and embrace the lacrosse community.
We're talking about the state of sports in Gwinnett County here. One of the biggest revenue streams for any professional sports team and golf tournament outside of ticket sales, of course, are corporate sponsorships. Now, there's only X number of companies in the area that budget for sports marketing, so I'm guessing it's a challenge for everybody here since the pie is only so big. In your case, Elisa, I'm sure it was a wonderful feeling. You probably sleep better at night knowing now that Mitsubishi Electric is your tournament's new title sponsor.
It was a huge sigh of relief. As you know, we were the Greater Gwinnett Championship presented by Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating. So I think it was a true testament to professional golf that Mitsubishi Electric decided to step up from presenting sponsor to title sponsor. And that's not only great for the community, but it's great for us because it secured our spot on the PGA Tour Champions schedule through 2020. And that's just going to be able to give let us be able to give back to our benefiting charities and community for that much longer. As far as the regular sponsors, I think you'll see a lot of overlap in who sponsors each of our events. And some of it comes down to positioning, too. You mentioned that only certain companies allocate dollars for sports marketing, but we're so much more than that. We're also professional entertainment. They've got budgets for that. That's not sports, but we have to show, you know, rather than doing dinners or taking them to concerts, come to our events instead. Because as with us in golf, we say there's no better way to entertain your clients than to be able to play golf with someone like Fred Couples.
All right, I'll ask the question to the group now. Corporate sponsors, are there enough to go around?
There's enough to go around. It's a matter of getting them involved, just like our fans. You know, and Lisa makes the perfect point. You know, it's competing with, you know, restaurants. You know, we have 20 suites that are perfect opportunities for folks to come out and entertain those clients or to reward their employees. You know, we say there's nothing better than watching a 2.5 hour ball game because you get the ebb and flow of the game. And baseball is that perfect sport to be able to entertain your clients. So, you know, in between pitches, you can talk, you know. And again, I was at the Swarm opening night and we had a blast. You know, it was a lot of fun, a lot of energy. We go to a lot of the Gladiators games and that's a lot of fun. And we look around and we go, you know, why isn't everybody in the community embracing this? Yeah. Why aren't they embracing all the sports? We've all got our niches. You know, the golf tournament is a phenomenal event, you know, and it's just a matter of the community really coming together, supporting it, and understanding how lucky Gwinnett County truly is to have four major events going on throughout the entire year.
Yeah, I will say this, Mike, based on my position, I try to go to a lot of Braves games, I try to go to Swarm games, I go to the Gladiators games, certainly go to the golf tournament. And on the sponsorship side of it, I have found myself at a particular event, and I was thinking, wait, I wonder how that one would work over here. So, yeah. I mean, there's certainly not an infinite amount, but I agree with Nora. There's enough sponsorship here to take care of everybody. It's just a matter of getting them engaged. The more people that show up for these events, the more attractive that becomes for a person to put their name on a particular game or event or whatever it might be. And that's the goal for all of us.
I mean, there's times when, you know, one of our sponsorship people has been to a Gwinnett Braves game and seen, you know, somebody that was sponsoring them and came back to the office the next day and called them and said, you know, hey, I'd like to talk to whoever did that deal. And we've gotten sponsorships out of seeing that stuff. Yep. You know, there's been a few times when, you know, people have told us, hey, it's down to either you or the Gwinnett Braves. And there's been times when we've won that battle and there's been times when we've lost that battle. So there's times when we are competing for the same money, but it's kind of up to us to get creative and work with them to figure out what they want and what they need. You know, we've got some sponsors who, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is viewing ourselves as a community asset. We've donated in the 13 years that we've been here, it's close to $2 million through our fundraiser program and through the Gladiator Foundation for Kids. And we'll talk to sponsors about that. And we've had some sponsors that have said, hey, you know, it's important that we keep you guys around and we want to support you. So they're sponsoring us with money from their community relations budget and not their sponsorship budget. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, it's figuring that stuff out.
One of the benefits of playing in Gwinnett is that you're in an area with a lot of people. We already talked about that. But around Gwinnett, you also have the surrounding counties as well. We're just outside a major metropolitan area like Atlanta. And so we have big league teams nearby, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer is on the way. What are some of the challenges of playing and marketing your team in the shadows of a city with a major league team? Is it hard to get noticed?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's just being able to kind of rise above the noise and be heard. Again, you know, whether it's the TV, the radio, the print media in Atlanta, they concentrate on the Atlanta Braves, which is what they're supposed to do. But unfortunately, Gwinnett doesn't have those pieces in place here to support not only us, but the other three entities represented today. So that's, to me, that's the biggest issue. Of course, it hurts when our schedule matches up against Atlanta's. You know, the last 3 years, our opening day has been their opening day. That hurts. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, this year, we're going to open up a week later. So, you know, we're looking forward to having an opener the way the Swarm did a couple of weeks ago. So again, for me, that's the biggest hurdle is just being able to be seen and be heard because there's so much noise amongst the other, you know, major league teams in Atlanta and the two college teams. And again, I don't think we should discount the impact UGA and Georgia Tech has on us because, you know, absolutely, you talk about sponsorship dollars, oh, wow, season ticket holders. I mean, to me, those are the two big 800 pound elephants, yeah, in a room. You can't overcome that loyalty that those graduates have. They're the ones who are responsible for the majority of the marketing dollars. There are a lot of banks, a lot of car dealers that graduated from UGA, and that's where all that money's going. And we all deal with it on a daily basis. You know, they may be a baseball fan, they may be a hockey fan, they may love to play golf, but they spent 4 years of their life going to UGA football, and that's what you see, and that's where their money goes. So that, to me, again, that's the big opponent we have to deal with.
Alec, you're in charge of PR for the Georgia Swarm. I'm guessing that's one of the things you probably work on every day.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge for me in our organization, you know, just lacrosse is a new sport, definitely new to this region. So, you know, educating this market about what the sport is, you know, resembles a lot like hockey, you know, and the Gladiators with the 5-on-5, the goalies, you know, we put turf right over the ice, a lot like basketball, you know, with the pick and roll. So really just educating, you know, this market and sports fans that this is a great family entertainment option, you know, affordable seating as well. So that's kind of the hurdle I face. And the Swarm face as well from a PR perspective.
And Joe, the Gladiators have done a great job over the years in capturing the attention of local fans.
I mean, it's the ninth largest media market in the world, or in the country, sorry. And I mean, we're all dealing with minor league budgets, you know? So a minor league budget and the ninth largest media market in the country don't really mix very well. So, you know, there's teams in our league that absolutely own the market that they're in. You know, Bakersfield, California, Bakersfield Condors used to be in our league. North was out there with a baseball team, but they could sneeze and it would be the top story on the news, you know? So, it's just a different battle than a lot of the teams in our league are dealing with. You know, we can't just go out and spend, you know, our marketing money and own the town. You know, we can't, we have to be extremely smart with where we spend our marketing money. But at the end of the day, you know, the marketing money that we have isn't what's going to make us successful. It's coming up with different ideas and different reasons for people to come out to the games. The thing like the teddy bear toss that we do where, you know, everybody brings a stuffed animal to the game with them and then throws it on the ice once we score. Just different things like that. And those are the things that we have to do. I mean, we have to constantly come up with new things and constantly, you know, make ourselves better and you know, right. just to be heard, like North said, just to get it kind of above the noise and be seen. I mean, this year the AJC did an article last week on one of our players who was the captain of Harvard's hockey team last year. And that's the first article that we've had in the AJC 6 years.
I know the Runaway Bride bobblehead, that gave you guys some national attention.
We were in People magazine. We were on the, you know, CNN 30-minute loop. We were on that.
Now, Alisa, you might be the closest thing to a quote-unquote major league property that we have here with big names. People are already aware of them. So the challenge might not be quite as difficult, I would think.
Well, it is still a bit of a challenge. We are the week after the Masters. So leading up to the tournament, we're fighting and fighting for our space in the media just because everybody's covering the Masters. We get to roll that. There's a lot of excitement around golf after the Masters, though. So we try to tie that into, you just watched the PGA Tour play down in Augusta. Now come see the legends of the game play in Gwinnett. We've got great names that play in our tournament when you talk about Miguel and Hal Jimenez and Fred Couples, Bernard Langer. I could go on and on and on with the Hall of Famers that we attract. But we still struggle the same way as everybody is getting the media to pay attention to us. And getting the golf fans that are in Metro Atlanta to come out to Gwinnett.
Now, I think it's pretty interesting to note that all three teams in Gwinnett have a different geographic name. We have the Atlanta Gladiators, the Georgia Swarm, and the Gwinnett Braves. North, obviously, you didn't have a whole lot of say in what you could call your team, because if you called yourself the Atlanta Braves, we'd have a little bit of confusion. Joe, in your situation, your name changed from the Gwinnett Gladiators to the Atlanta Gladiators just before the season. Why?
We've been throwing it back and forth for a couple years, really since the Thrashers left. We're not just drawing from Gwinnett, honestly. I mean, it's we draw very well from Cobb. We draw well from Walton County, DeKalb County, Hall County, you know, Fulton County, Forsyth. We're drawing from everywhere. And we want to make sure that people understood that we weren't just Gwinnett County's professional hockey team. We were all of Metro Atlanta's hockey team. And that was the big thing, is just making sure that people understood that we were Metro Atlanta's professional hockey team.
Okay, now, Alec, you decided to become the Georgia Swarm, not the Atlanta Swarm, not the Gwinnett Swarm. Talk about that decision.
Yeah, we had a couple options, kind of like Joe's thinking. We just wanted to capture the whole state. We wanted this to be the state's lacrosse team. And even in a bigger picture, you know, the team of the Southeast. You know, right now our games are taped delayed on Fox Sports Southeast. So it's very, very great for us to get that visibility. And, you know, we just wanted to invite the whole state out, you know, to see Swarm lacrosse and not just Atlanta.
Alisa, with the new naming rights for the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, there's now no geography whatsoever in the golf tournament's name. Previously, it was the Greater Gwinnett Classic. Was that ever in the conversation? And then, Stan, after Elisa's done, I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well, since part of your job is selling Gwinnett to the national media that covers the tournament.
It was part of the discussion at one point when we were signing the contract with Mitsubishi Electric. But as Joe said, we didn't want to limit it to just being Gwinnett, all of Metro Atlanta and the surrounding areas to support the tournament. And we wanted to make sure that we were appealing to everyone. But it's also some tradition as well. If you look down the PGA Tour schedule, unless a tournament doesn't have a title sponsor, you traditionally do not see the location in their name to make sure we're giving enough credit and support to our title sponsors.
It absolutely was a concern. And it was a concern when Joe changed. And but let me just say this. You know, when North's team goes out and travels across the country, I'm a native Gwinnettian, certainly have a interests that go beyond sports to some degree as far as the economical impact that sports have. We love seeing Gwinnett on those jerseys when they trot out on the field. We loved it when the Gladiators were had Gwinnett. You talk about the Gwinnett Gladiators, and they also travel all the country. And the golf tournament, that was purposely named the Greater Gwinnett Championship when we first brought professional golf back to Sugarloaf. Having said all that, I totally understand why Alec would do what he did. Joe, and then certainly with Mitsubishi Electric Classic, we would be silly to try to limit ourselves to just a Gwinnett name, a Gwinnett market, because there's no doubt that they all do go beyond the boundaries of Gwinnett. So I think we'll still get that exposure that we need because all of our facilities are located in Gwinnett. The tournament's certainly located in Gwinnett. I think we'll get plenty of recognition on that side as well. So I have no argument with them anymore. I think it was a smart move on everybody's part.
As we wrap up our conversation talking about the state of sports in Gwinnett County, I appreciate everybody joining us here on the panel. I want to get people's final thoughts as we wrap up the conversation. Maybe one last chance to plug each of your teams. We'll start with you, North.
Well, first, thanks to you and Stan for having us all together today. It's always great to get, seriously, it's great to get together with this group.
This has never happened before. This is the first time,
exactly. So this has been fun. But yeah, our home opener is April 14th. Again, it's a week later than it typically is, so we're looking forward to a great first night and a great season. We've got a lot of the young talent the Braves have been trading for the last 6 months. All these guys you've been hearing about, come out to Gwinnett and see these guys play because this is the future of the Atlanta Braves, and the future is great. The future is great, and the future is here. So we're excited about it.
All right, Alec.
Yeah, we're the new kids on the block here. We're happy to be here. Thanks again for having us. You know, we've had tremendous support from the business community on a sponsorship side, from a fan base. We had our home opener Saturday, January 9th. We had 9,000 fans at the Infinite Energy Arena. So, you know, we're off to a great start this season. We have 9 home games. They're all on the weekends, georgiaswarm.com. And like I said, we're looking forward to a great season and many more seasons here.
Joe with the Gladiators.
We still have, I think, 15 home games left. Some great promotions coming up. $5 duffel bags, $5 jerseys, teddy bear toss, Star Wars night, superhero night, Frozen night. So check out the promo schedule on the website, atlantagladiators.com, and come out and see us.
And Elisa.
Well, thanks again for having us. The Mitsubishi Electric Classic is right around the corner, April 11th through the 17th, out at TPC Sugarloaf. We're looking for volunteers still, so if anybody in the community wants to get involved, there's no better way to get inside the ropes than to become a volunteer. And tickets are available on MitsubishiElectricClassic.com.
And Stan Hall with the Gwinnett Sports Commission, I'll give you last word.
I would just say, you know, I'm totally thrilled to be involved with all those folks and teams that are represented here today. And, you know, as we've said throughout the show, I would encourage the folks around here to get out and support these teams and these events. I can't tell you how much of a privilege we have to have the caliber of professional sports right here in our backyard. And simply to not support it, I think, is just, I can't understand it. But I know that the folks will get out and look forward to great seasons with all of them.
All right. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us as we discuss the state of professional sports in Gwinnett County. North Johnson with the Gwinnett Braves, Alex Shipke with the Georgia Swarm, Joe Gelderman of the Atlanta Gladiators, Elisa Duman with the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, and Stan Hall, Executive Director of the Gwinnett Sports Commission. There's no question that sports fans in our area are all big winners when it comes to the numerous opportunities to enjoy and watch professional sports. We have hockey, baseball, lacrosse, golf, and who knows what else is coming around the corner. Be sure to support all of our teams and be sure to cheer out loud. For everybody up here on the panel and also behind the scenes at TV Gwinnett and Business Radio X, I'm Mike Salmon for Gwinnett Business Radio and Get in the Game, and we hope to see you at the games.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferratec, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferratec, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferratec.com.